Today is the day that the Lord hath made. Will you, with me, with the Lord and with David, rejoice and be glad that it is? That's what David said. Psalms 118, I think 24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad that it is. Amen, Edith? Man, let's rejoice and be so happy with the work of God and what he's doing. Let's turn to Matthew, the 12th chapter. We're going to go back into some of the thoughts we've been in for the last 2 weeks. And it's basically Paul's writings, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5. Paul said, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith or not. Prove your own selves that Christ is in you to be reprobates. You can look at it and read it verbatim. My point is, he said, examine. Prove yourselves. God already knows where you're at. Do you know where you're at here today? We are going to examine ourselves. We talked about this for the last 2 weeks. In Matthew, we're going to look at Matthew 12, but just a quick review. If you went in and looked at Matthew 7, Jesus warned his disciples about false prophets, about some that come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing. He said, outwardly they look right, but inwardly they're as ravening wolves. In Matthew 12, he's going to help us and to understand what it means to blaspheme. They came to Jesus and they accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub. And I know what I was going to say earlier. Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not. Do you look at that as a commandment? Or do you only say, oh, there's 10 commandments, and those are the only commandments, which Jesus gave a whole lot more, but he also lets you know that mercy and grace is above the law. But do you perceive that when Paul said, examine yourselves, that's something you really should do? That you should consider in your heart and take great thought in. You know that anytime you make big decisions in life, you really should take some time out and think about those decisions before you make them. You should really set yourself aside, meditate, look at both sides of everything. In other words, don't be hasty. Make your decisions after you have thought long and hard about something, and I promise you, 9 times out of 10, you'll make a better decision. Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 31. Now, they've already accused Jesus, starting in verse 25, basically 24, of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Jesus explained to them, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, at the end, he says, well, how do your children do it? You know why? Because they don't. He told them that every kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. I am here casting out devils because when I do, the kingdom of God has come unto you. And he let them know that he's not working by Beelzebub, Daryl. He's working by the Holy Ghost. And the warning here to them is, you can speak against the Son of Man. I don't really encourage it. But you could speak against the man, against the flesh of Jesus, but do not speak against the Holy Ghost, because that's blasphemy. The work that God's doing by his Spirit, do not speak against that. That's blasphemy. We're going to read that there's not forgiveness in this life or in the life to come. This is a really bad sin, if you understand what I'm saying here. Verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Now let me add just a little something in here. How many of you remember a man called Saul? Not the Saul of the Old Testament, which was the first king of Israel. Actually, he was the second. Jesus was the first king, and they wanted another. But Saul, who had his name changed to Paul. You guys know who I'm talking about? He said that he blasphemed God, but he received forgiveness. So here it said, you're not going to be forgiven this life or the one to come. So what's the deal? Paul explained it, Daryl. He said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So when we're done here today, no condemnation to anybody here. If you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost, if you've done it ignorantly, you're already forgiven. Don't worry about it. But now that you know, and especially after today, don't do it again. There's no more ignorance after this. You understand what I'm saying? Verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And now verse 33 is, it's going to sound very familiar because this is what we talked about in Matthew 7. You're going to talk about a tree. A tree being a man is what Jesus is going to show you. And how can you tell a tree if it's good or evil? By the fruit that it bears, or by the words that it speaks. I had somebody come to me last week, and I mentioned about something about kind of road rage and getting upset with people, how they drive and this and that. And they come and they confess to me and said, am I a bad person? This last week, this happened on the road, that happened on the road. And I said, no, you're not a bad person. When I'm talking about these things here, we're talking about what comes out of the heart. So how many of you try to do good things for the people you love? Is that a manifestation of what's in your heart? See, what I'm doing is getting to the spiritual aspect of it. And in the heart, there could be 12 manner of fruit. Remember in Galatians, Paul's writings, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse? There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. We have those written on the board here today. In that chapter, there's 9. There's actually 3 more. And some of you, one or two of you, have come up with all 12, right, Jim? We're going to finish that here today. We have 10, 11, and 12 that we're going to fill in. And we're going to be looking at Revelation 22, because in the beginning of Revelation 22, John describes a tree. He describes this tree as the tree of life. How many of you have ever seen a tree of life? I'm going to exercise your imagination today because I have had numerous experiences with the tree of life, and I'm going to share those with you along with John's experience and let you take the opportunity to imagine what John and I have seen and be a partaker of this tree of life, if you will believe here today. And if you're willing to exercise your imagination a little bit, you do realize that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the image of God, the image of the invisible God, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the manifestation of the imagination of the thoughts of God personified to us. You understand that? How about you? What's in your heart? Does it manifest? I'll promise you, because I've watched it for years, but because God said it first, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you sit with somebody long enough, you're going to find out what's in their heart. Now, I'm not talking about one time. I'm not talking about an hour. I'm not even talking about a day. If you sit long enough, people are going to manifest what's in their heart. And what is in our heart? Both good and evil. But what's on the tree of life? Good fruit. It's a good tree. It's not an evil tree. But in the beginning, God explained to his son Adam, do not eat of this tree over here. Genesis 2 and 26. And the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what fruit is on that tree? Fruit unto death, like we talked about last week in Romans 7. But the tree of life, the one that the Spirit of God, see, this is a tree that when you eat of it, it gives you life. You ever been around an individual or somebody that's really negative? And the words they speak to you, if you're not careful, will go right into your spirit. As parents, do we not have to be very careful what we speak to our children? Guess what? I just remembered the announcement. Da-da-da. We have a baptism today. Brittany and Walker are going to be baptized later today. Mark 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. So how important is it for us to follow the scriptures, to follow the commandment, and be baptized? Amen. So later today, you pray for them. It's a private baptism. They're being obedient to the word of God. God bless both of you. We're going to have a great day today. And, you know, baptism is for the remission of sins. See, the words that we speak are very, very powerful. The scripture tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what you love is what you take in. I just talked to you about having people that are negative or that speak negative things. There are some people that are actually attracted to that. You know that? I actually know people right now that seek and look for drama. They're the happiest when drama's in their life. I'm the total opposite. Take all of that away. As a matter of fact, I know people that aren't happy. This is going to sound like an oxymoron or what have you, but I know people that aren't happy unless they're miserable. Isn't that crazy? I've told my family for years and years, please, let's seek peace. Seek peace with all men, for without which no man shall see the Lord. Please, let's have peace in our home. There's a peace of God that passeth understanding that keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We need the peace of God. Right, Kim? If you've ever been out without peace, you know it's one of the most precious commodities on this earth. You can't purchase it. God gives it to us for free, Tristan. But without it, life can be very miserable. Amen? Matthew 12 and verse 33. Let's get into these trees. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good. Now, hold on a second. Who's he speaking to here? Is he speaking to the disciples? Yeah? Are the Pharisees hearing it? Sure. The multitude? How about you and I? Is he speaking to us right here? So, Jennifer, you have the ability to make the tree what it is. You hear what Jesus said? Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit evil. So I am emphasizing right now, you have this power, Mr. Mike Green. Jesus Christ said you have this power. You have the ability to make your character. You have the ability to make who you are. He has given you this. So don't ever let somebody take this away from you. Don't ever let somebody speak things and manipulate you and control you to be something you're not. Because it's a God-given gift called free will. One of the most amazing gifts that God could ever give us. I think the absolute amazing is eternal life. But you got to choose that, don't you? I mean, you can choose, Edith, not to be a part of God. You can choose to separate yourself from God. You can choose not to accept Jesus Christ into your life. Or you can choose to eat of the tree of life and live forever. Isn't that what Jesus said? When they ate of the tree, he said, we got to do something now. We got to separate, man. We got to change things, because lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. Well, see, that sounds good. Not in sin, it doesn't. You get to the book of Revelation, the 2nd chapter and the 7th verse. It tells you, to he that overcometh will I give. Here we go again. Will I give the right? God wants to give you a right to eat of the tree of life. To he that overcometh will I give the right to eat of the tree of life. Man, see, this is why we emphasize the heart and how we think and the salvation of the Lord. Because Jesus said, you have the right to eat this tree if there is a contingency here, if you're an overcomer. Man, that's a whole lesson in itself about being an overcomer. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, this is what I was saying about if you spend enough time with an individual, you'll find out what's in their heart. Have you ever been around somebody that basically is really superficial? And they really do have no plans on sharing with you their heart. They just say the things that they think they need to say, that they think you want to hear. And you really never get to know that individual. See, that's why counsel is so important. That's why fellowship is so important. And not so you come to me and or one of the elders and talk to them and try to convince us how to look at you. It's so you'll open up and share your heart. You realize many times when you do that, that's your prayer to God. David said, Lord, let my meditation be acceptable unto thee. He's talking about prayer, how you think. A person will read Paul's writings, and in the book of Thessalonians, I believe it's the fifth chapter, he said, pray without ceasing. And you're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to ever keep that commandment? Dang, I have to work. Well, I sleep. How do I do it without ceasing? You do it in your spirit. You do it in your heart. You do it in your mind. You do it in your meditation. You don't even realize. But right now is a point where you go, uh-oh, have I really been saying all that stuff to God? I'm going to watch how I think. I'm going to watch what I'm actually meditating on. Good. Good. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So where is this fruit going to be found at? Well, you say on the tree of life. You already told us it. Yeah, but where is it going to come to a word from you when it's in your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now we're getting to some really serious stuff, aren't we? I'm going to read that again. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in a day of judgment. And judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, that's what Paul's writing says. He said, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So judgment must begin with us. We are the house of God. People look at judgment as something that's going to happen later. What if it's now? What if God is judging your heart and your thoughts right now? Because that's really how it works. The Spirit of God is searching your hearts. He's trying your reins to give unto every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of their doings. Judgment is now. Say, well, what happens when we die? You ever wonder that? You ever take that thought? Or let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in this room that's going to lie to me and tell me you've never taken that thought? Because every one of us are older than teenagers here today. I remember being a teenager, I never thought about dying. The stuff we did, oh my gosh. I'm not even going to do it. The stuff we did, we had no thought about death whatsoever. But the older you get, 30, yeah, still invincible. 40, ooh, wait a minute, creeping up there. 50, almost for sure half of your life is over, right? 60? The Lord said he gives you 70 years. That's 10 years. What am I going to do in 10 years? Daryl, you've already got that beat, don't you? Yeah. I know Merle does. But you do start to think about those things, don't you? You know what? One thing that happens to a lot of people as they get older, and you want to watch this, because I'll tell you this also. Concerning relationships, I've done a lot of counseling with marriage, with families, with individuals. And in my opinion, one of the number one things that ruins a relationship is a lack of communication. If you don't communicate with one another, if you don't share, because I understand how we reproduce in this physical realm, but conversation is more intimate than that. So how can you get more intimate than that? I'll promise you. To be in somebody's heart, to hear their thoughts, to hear their mind, is much more intimate than a physical act. And this is why we communicate. This is why we talk one with another. Or we share with our children our heart and our minds. And I was going to say something else. I forgot it. Huh? Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I appreciate you reminding me of that. Communication, and I've said this for a long time, is the thing that ruins a relationship. Or, Brittany, makes it. You communicate well, Good relationship. You talk to God, he talks back to you. Great relationship. Same with husband, wife, children. Communication. But you know what another thing is right up there with communication that can really hurt a relationship, Tim? A thing called regret. You start looking back at your life and you start regretting things that you've done and things, choices that you've made. Because what you'll start to do if you regret, Mike, you're going to take your regret out on the individual a lot of times. We talked last week about forgiveness. You know where the greatest place, obvious, is we need God to forgive us, right? We need God to forgive us. But you know what the next step in forgiveness is? You got to come to a place where you forgive yourself. If Jesus has forgiven you, who in the world do you think you are for not forgiving yourself? Huh? And sometimes that's hard because we've done bad things. We've done things that are wrong. Isn't it wild how we can remember all the stuff we did wrong, we forget everything we did right? Huh? You can do 1,000 things right, Tim, and do that one thing that's wrong. Huh, Daryl? And that's what you'll be known by. Shouldn't be this way. We got to be able to forgive ourselves, right, Bryce? Where were we at, folks? Forgiveness. Regret. Communication. Giving you some tools here for relationships. Ultimately, I'm not your marriage counselor unless you ask me. I'm not your counselor unless you ask me to counsel. But my point here, Ralph, is how to help you have a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's communication. That's forgiveness. That's not living in regret, but it's living in peace. Amen? Where did I finish here? We're going to read 36 and 37 again. He said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." He said, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." How powerful are the words that we speak? They justify you, they condemn you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You want to see a good tree? Mike, you read that whole Bible, all 66 books. That's a good tree. Everything in there, Daryl, even though it talks about good and evil, every single bit of it is good. Because it's God, Tim. Every single bit of it. Now, on the board, the fruits of the Spirit are written as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. In the Scriptures, there's three more. Some of you found those, have you not? Let me share two of them with you right now. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Let's look at the ninth verse. Actually, start. Sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We just talked about regret. It said you were darkness. Do you regret that? Oh, why not, Bryce? You mean you're thankful? Why are you thankful? Because you were the servant of sin, but now you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has been delivered to you, and now you can look back, Daryl, and say, "I'm an overcomer. I have the right to the tree of life." Do you see that, how this actually works? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, don't regret it. Learn from it. To make a mistake is not wrong. Well, you know, it's not bad if you learn from it. If you make mistakes, you do things continually, like in the curse, then that's not helping you. You're propitiating the curse. But when we learn from the things that we've done wrong, now you're growing in grace. Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Now, goodness is already up here. So did we read two more? What was it? Righteousness and what, Carrie? Oh, wow. So if you eat of this fruit, truth, what's going to happen to you? I mean, we could do this with every one of them, but let's do with truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by truth. So when you have truth, Edith, do we have access unto the Father? Absolutely. When we have truth in our heart, can we speak things that has made us free? Absolutely. What about righteousness? You know what happens, Tim, when the fruit of righteousness in your heart, you begin to speak things that are right. That's what the prophet said. You're righteous because you speak things that are right. What about, let's go all the way to the top. We just had a lesson on this on Wednesday, didn't we? Isn't this awesome? Now, goodness was already, it's in the scripture, but it's already on the board. But what about love? We talked about love on Wednesday. Huh? Charity, 1 Corinthians 13, is amazing, isn't it? But if you have love in your heart, are you going to want to do nice things for individuals? You're going to want to hold the door open for ladies? You're going to walk little old ladies across the street? You say, well, that's not what you're talking about. It could be a manifestation, caring for people, loving individuals. It very much could be. But we are taking it farther and saying this love, God is love. The scriptures tell us. And this love, as we taught on Wednesday, how do I love an individual? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus said. What about this? We love him because he first loved us. Does love cover a multitude of sins? There's a lot to say about love. But I believe it's John, the 21st chapter. Jesus told Peter, he said, lovest thou me? Peter said, yea, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. He asked him three times. And the next two times he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Is it possible, Bryce, when the very depths of love being God, if we give God to somebody, then we're loving them? I mean, you can buy cars for people. You can buy houses. You can do a lot of stuff, really nice stuff for people, and say that's love. That's good. I'm fine with that. But there's an origin of why you would want to do good things and nice things and love individuals. It's a word of God, Bryce. It's God himself. So I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody. I'm looking to take you farther. Sometimes we tell people we love them so haphazardly. Do I really mean it? Do I want God for you? Because God is love, and if I want God for you, I can manifest this love by giving you his word, by giving you a word from God. I love you guys every single week. Actually, every single day, I pray for you and love you and look to bring the word of God to you. Carrie, you had your hand up. Do you have that scripture? I'll read it with you. Because this says in the book of Hebrews, this is a second witness to this. 12th chapter and the 11th verse. But the peaceable fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. How close did I get? The fruit of righteousness. How do you get it? It's sown. Are we sowing here today? Mike, when you and Jennifer talk to each other and you speak back and forth, are you sowing things? Are you sowing good things out of the abundance of your heart? Now listen, folks, do not get condemned here today. Every single one of us here in this room is guilty of saying things we don't mean when we're mad. Every one of us, probably me more than all of you. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. But I also understand the forgiveness of God. And I also understand that God's looking at the heart. And he doesn't have a problem with sin. It's if you love sin. If once it's revealed to you, Diana, if you're ready to repent and turn away from that, that's what God's looking at. That's the love that he has for us. Did we get it close enough, you said, right? Okay. Now there's one verse or one fruit that's left. Go with me to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. When the Bible talks about the tree of life, we see it in the beginning. I want to share something great with you here today about this tree. Revelation 2, if we are an overcomer, we have the right. And that's very important. You have the right. It's your right by God to eat of this tree if you've overcome. What's on this tree? We're going to read there's 12 manner of fruit. You know what else? There's leaves on this tree. You know what the leaves are for? The healing of the nations. Everything about this tree, Daryl, is life. There's no death in it whatsoever. And you have the right to eat of it if you will overcome. Why do we preach the things that we preach? So they can be brought to your attention, to your consciousness, and that with you and God, you can repent, be forgiven for these things, and have the right to eat of this tree that we're talking about here today. Are you with me? Daryl, oh, you're scratching your ear. Thought you were going to ask a question. Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Now, how many of you are ready to exercise your imagination with me just a little bit? I'm going to give you a little bit of an explanation before I read this. How many of you know that this tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are trees that are in the Spirit? Has anybody ever run across a tree of the knowledge of good and evil and pick the fruit of thereof, like you would a walnut tree, an apricot tree, an apple tree? You know, it's funny because everybody says that Adam took the apple from the tree of the knowledge. You ever heard that? You know, the Bible doesn't say that. It would be good if it was the apple, because the apple is love. Go look in the scriptures. It doesn't say that the fruit Adam ate of was love. How many of you heard it's a forbidden fruit? Don't eat it. Could it be partaking of the carnal mind? Because to be carnally minded is death. When you partake of the carnal mind and you eat the words of that carnal mind, that's the death that God's looking to keep you from, and he gave you the commandment not to eat it. Could it be fruit of hatred, Tim? Fruit of anger? Fruit of strife and contention and so many of those works of the flesh? It absolutely could be, couldn't it? How about unforgiveness? We're talking a lot about forgiveness in the last couple teachings. It sure could, couldn't it? How many of you have ever drove the highway of 198 all the way up to Three Rivers? Sophia's like, every day. I want to give you an illustration so you understand, or help you when you read right here. Because when you read that in the book of Revelation that there's a tree in the midst of the garden, there's a tree that you can eat of, how many of you look at that tree as like one individual tree? There's only one tree of life. A lot of people do. I've seen it. Guess what? Here's how it actually works. And I'll use, Sophia, the back way to your guy's house, or the back way to Three Rivers. If you've ever taken that windy, nice road, have you noticed that there's a thing called an orange tree on both sides of the road? So if I was to take somebody and drive down that road, they say, what kind of tree is that? That's the orange tree. But is there many orange trees on that drive? This is exactly how the tree of life, there's many trees of life. There's not just one. Jesus is the tree of life. And I've experienced this. If you eat of the tree of life, and this is why we preach the way we do, Daryl, if you partake of the tree of life, you become the tree of life. I stood before the tree of life. It was a small tree when I first saw it. There's water coming out of the mountain, off a waterfall, and it's coming down. And the water splits, and there's more than one tree. And the river goes right in between, and now there's many trees that this water is giving life to. It's a clear river called the River of Life, Daryl. Crystal clear. And on either side of the river is the tree of life. Just like I'm explaining to you. Listen to this. The other thing is, this tree grows. As you observe it and as you admire it, the tree grows. And it grows to a great, humongous tree. And in this tree, Daryl, there's leaves. And on this tree, there's fruit. 12 manner of fruit. We're writing them up here right now. I said this earlier, but you know the Bible says that in the book of Proverbs that wisdom is a tree of life. It calls a tree of life a she. You say, but you said Jesus is a tree of life. Yeah, Jesus, in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. It's both, just like the angels, if you can receive that here today. One last fruit. Listen to this. I want you to, if you will, close your eyes for a minute. Meditate. Let your imagination work. Let God's imagination become your imagination and see this tree with me right now. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street thereof, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. When you eat of this tree, you're partaking of this life. There's 12 manner of fruits on this tree. There's a river that comes out of heaven and divides and separates these trees, which every single one of them are the tree of life. And that fruit is on there for me and you. When we overcome, we have the right to partake of this tree and enter into eternal life. And the leaves, they're to heal you. Every single thing about this tree is to bring life to you. You know, it's interesting, if you look at Adam and you're reading the book of Job, Adam ate of a tree, didn't he? Book of Job says he covered his nakedness with fig leaves. When Adam did not discern the tree correctly, his wife thought it was a tree to make one wise, and she took the fruit thereof. They tried to hide what they did wrong with their own works, with the leaves. They thought it would heal them. They thought it would make them right with God. But there was only one thing that was going to make them right with God. What was that? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It was Jesus. Jesus, the tree of life, had to sacrifice himself, become a man, robe himself in the likeness of sinful flesh, appear to be like you and I, and like everyone else, God manifest in the flesh, and give his life for each and every one of us, Bryce. Lay it down and take it back up again, and give us the right to this tree of life that I hope you just saw. Last one. How many of you tried to come up with this and have not been able to tell me what the 12th fruit is? Do you know why? Because when you do word searches, sometimes you need to look at it as plural. Type in fruits and put in wisdom. But to be honest with you, this should have been a no-brainer anyways, because wisdom is the tree of life. James, the 3rd chapter, the 17th verse. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, what are we talking about? But the wisdom that is from above. Is the tree of life carry wisdom and understanding? We have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, righteousness, truth, and wisdom. When you eat of these trees, all of these things are in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, Julie, the mouth speak it. When you're examining yourselves, look at what you're speaking. Look at what's in your heart. Is in your heart what's on the board here, the tree of life? Or are you full of strife and contention, anger, hatred, fear? No understanding. It would be the opposite of wisdom, wouldn't it? They said, well, Pastor, right now, both, honestly. I love, but then I hate. Solomon said, they even wrote a song about it, huh, Lily? Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time and a season for everything under the sun, a time to live and a time to die, a time to laugh and a time to cry. There's a time for everything. Is it the birds, Lily? We've done this like 3 or 4 times. You don't remember? It was the birds, huh? Remember that thing about getting older? As you get older, you realize, I really need to focus to remember. You're young, you just remember everything.
What were you saying?
Well, and hearing, huh, Daryl? How many of you want to eat of the tree of life? How many of you will examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith or not? That's the beginning of eating of this tree. Actually, the beginning is believing what I've spoke to you here today. And you got to believe that you have the right. And yes, there's good and evil in our hearts. For sure, God knows that. But he said, Bryce, you can make it what you want. You can make it good and the fruit good, or you can make it corrupt and the fruit evil. You have this power. How many of you will exercise it? God bless you. Then you've heard what I needed to say to you. Thank you for joining us today. Any questions or thoughts or anything?